This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
Good morning, everybody, at 10:06. Happy race day. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, brought to you by great sponsors including Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, and Sunny South Raceway. Bill Roth is standing by. I've got a big bunch of stuff to talk about with our championship winners at Sunny South Raceway. We might have some details about some things coming up in 2017 as well. Tommy Lowry racing tonight, some championship divisions, and then getting ready for the big race. It's the Southern 100 at Southern Raceway. It's going to be $10,000. To win with the Neesmith late model guys. And by the way, I hear that asphalt guy Bubba Pollard's gonna have his dirt car out here playing, so we'll see. That's coming up October 27th through the 29th. Tim Bryant's gonna prep us also coming up for the 49th annual Snowball Derby. It's the first weekend of December, and entries are already coming in, names like Anderson and Nemechek, and we'll talk with him. And also Matt Weaver's got the latest, talk a little bit about the Winchester 400 as well as NASCAR up in Kansas. Well, Bill Roth joins us. First of all, Bill Roth, good morning, and welcome back to the show. It's time to salute our champions for 2016, and it was probably one of the neatest racing years as far as Sunny South Raceway teaming up with Mobile this year for a year that it could have not been good for local drivers, but man, with them teaming up and what you've done with the Highway 90 Challenge Series, it was spectacular. Good morning.
Morning. I may have a dog in the fight, but I think you're right. For asphalt racing, I think it ended up being a really good year, and now that asphalt racing is over, it's time to salute the champions and get them their awards. I got to say, over at Southern at the end of the month, the last weekend of the month, Kenny Schrader and Bubba Pollard racing over there is going to be a really cool thing.
Yeah. Actually, Schrader's bringing both an IMCA and a UMP modified. He's going to take both the trophies.
Listen, and it's not just a name from the past that comes when I ran the Paducah Raceway in Kentucky for a year. In 2008, he came to race. I mean, he was always the odds-on favorite. He brings the best stuff, and even though it's a short track and not the big stuff, he's always really well-prepared and a great driver.
Yeah, and of course, the fans love to see him out there as well.
You couldn't ask for a nicer guy. To a racer, to a crew member, to a fan, you couldn't ask for a nicer guy.
That's awesome. Yeah, and that'll be at the end of October. Well, we had a good race year this year. A lot of great sponsors helped out from the junior champs all the way up to the legend cars. And some pretty famous, not famous, I wouldn't say famous names, but very recognizable names along the Gulf Coast and starting all the way down into the junior divisions.
Yeah, let's just salute our champions from this last year at Sunny South. The junior champs won by Garrett Little, 1,012 points, four feature wins. The Bandoleros, sponsored by RTR Websites, actually have two divisions. In the Bandits division, Landon Adams was the champion, 962 points, and he had a feature win. In the Bandolero Outlaw division, Caleb Boykin, you talk about dominance here, 1,059 points, 11 feature wins.
Wow.
But steady Eddie, I got to say, Caleb Sanford only 48 points behind, so Sanford was steady Eddie, and Boykin got those 11 feature wins that got him the championship. Legends Division, sponsored by Pitts & Sons Towing and Recovery, three different divisions in the Legends. The Young Lions, won by Britton Diaz, 1,003 points, nine Young Lion wins in 2016. The Semi-Pro Division, Trace Capers, eight wins and 1,083 points. And in the pro division, Connie Dubuisson, the driver from Louisiana, had 1,103 points and 10 wins.
Wow.
But talk about steady Eddie in this class, too. Connor O'Kresick, not the champion, several feature wins, not that far behind. He finishes second with 1,073.
Wow.
And Pro Challenge Division, sponsored by John Thompson and Associates, Connor O'Kresick was the champion. Eight feature wins and 1,019 points.
Wow.
The Precision Auto Glass Mini Stock, Sean Mosley, 1,003 points, 10 feature wins, including a backwards race, the champion.
I love that.
And he's going to graduate up into the Bomber Division next year. Yeah. He purchased Rusty Powell's second place championship number 65 Bomber, and we'll campaign that, I think, beginning at the Snowball.
I think so. I think I've seen him practicing. He was out at one of the last races out there just kind of shaking it down. So, and like we've talked before, that boy can drive.
and he's all about it. I mean, he's so enthusiastic. So yeah. I predict good things for him in the full-size cars. I really do. Now, we go from the full-size cars to the littlest of little, and that's the Bama Boring Mighty Mites, my favorite division in the whole world. And since there are no winners and no losers in this division, they're all the champion. Wow. Every one of them's a champion.
Awesome.
Here's the ones that competed this year: Dakota Walker, Michael Tipton, Eli Loper, Jace Law, Lane Johnson, Cole Trickle Denton, Tristan Cheeseman, Hayden Boykin, and Bella Brown.
Wow.
They did so well this year, and the parents, I'm sure, are really proud. And it's a division for youngsters to, more than anything else, I think, learn about racing and what it's like to compete in racing, what the flags mean, and what we do. And I think it's a great success, and I'm all about the Mighty Mites.
And, of course, they learn how to wave at grandma while driving down the front straightaway.
Yeah,
that's the best part.
That's some of the neatest stuff that happens in racing.
I love it. You're
now,
right.
It's important for everybody to know this about the Sunny South divisions, the ones we just talked about.
Yeah.
In the point race for the entire season, because so many youngsters are involved in so many of the divisions, they have a system where you can drop your two lowest points nights of the season. That lets people go on vacation and stuff, and I think that's important. And they also have, if you're going to be at every one, you're going to race at every one of the scheduled races, you get 30 extra points.
Wow.
So those two lowest point drops were considered in this, and also the 30 extra points considered in this. And before we quit talking about the points from Sunny South, even though it was at two tracks, let's again salute the Highway 90 Challenge Series winners in the Bob Speed Shop Sportsman Division. With four total feature wins, three at Sunny South, one at Mobile, it was Mark Barnhill with 627 points. And in the Island Motors 2 Bomber Division, it was Robert Loper, 636 points, five wins at Sunny South.
Well, you know, that Bomber class, I love it. I've been in it for years. It's very affordable, if there is such a thing, as far as racing goes. But I can tell you, I have seen people like, names like Michael Sanford. He's building a Bomber for the Snowball Derby. Is it going to be his? Is it going to be Chance Emmels? Don't know. But there's a lot of people. There's people looking right now for Bombers to go out there and race. So there, I think what you were able to do this year between the tracks and with you running it with the Highway 90 Challenge Series has kept that spark alive. And thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, at least guys that have race cars, used to have race cars, thinking about getting race cars, know, at least they know that somebody cares about them.
Yeah.
And I do, and the reason we did it, as we say all the time, is because Mobile was on such a limited schedule.
Right.
We don't know anything about Mobile's schedule next year.
Right.
Don't know if we'll even need to do the Highway 90 Challenge Series, but at least there are people that care in this area about grassroots racing, and I think that's the most important point.
Yeah. Now, championships, as far as when people were able to get up and meet up and get all the hardware and the checks and all the fun stuff, not quite on the schedule yet.
Well, because we really haven't secured a place to do the awards ceremony, we might do it jointly with something else, and I'm just going to take my time. The money is in. I mean, it's not a question of getting the money or the trophies. And the trophies are made, and they're beautiful trophies.
Yeah.
We'll let everybody know when we're going to award those top five in each one of the Bomber and Sportsman Division for the Highway 90 Challenge Series as soon as we get the information. And there's another date that's still to be determined, and that's the Sunny South Division's awards banquet. That probably, I think last year was after the first of the year. But as soon as those dates are confirmed, we'll be on the radio talking about them. We'll have them on everybody's website.
And obviously, when there's any news about any tracks, including Mobile International Speedway, like you said, we'll get them up on the websites and definitely talk about it on the show. So the rest of the weekend, you working on that family car?
No, I think I think my radio job's going to...
Oh, no. Darn day job gets in the way.
Job gets in the way of my fun.
That's exactly right. Hey, coming up next, we've got a fun race weekend coming up. It's called the Snowball Derby. Have you heard of it? Of course you have if you listen to this show. Tim Bryant's got all the details. Tom Lowry with Southern Raceway getting ready for a big night of racing tonight in a couple of weeks as well. And Matt Weaver with NASCAR around the corner. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And again, thank you, Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, and of course, our friends at Sunny South Raceway. Just heard from Bill Roth, and congratulations to all the 2016 champions from Sunny South. Still to come, Tommy Lowry. Again, the past couple of races at Southern have been amazing. Over 100 cars in the pits, and now we're getting ready for October 27th, 28th, and 29th. It's the big one, the Southern 100. Now, if you haven't heard, Kenny Schrader's going to be there running his IMCA and UMP Modified, and I hear other big names coming too, so it's going to be big. But when you think of big races as well, the Asphalt Screams, the Five Flag Speedway, Snowball Derby, 49th running of it this year. Tim Bryant standing by. Preparations already on the way, and if you go to fiveflagspeedway.com, I already see some very noticeable names, including Anderson, Nemechek on that list. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, Kane. Yeah, we're underway as far as preparations goes. When our final race, the regular season ends, we get to work and try to get our facility in tip-top shape for what is our signature event, of course, with the Snowball Derby. And we got a busy month in November leading up to that. And, of course, you know, that'll be kind of headed up by the Snowball Derby preview on November 19th, which is an all-day practice of vital importance to all of our local division racers and all of our guys that, you know, as you know, the schedule is so tight on Snowball Derby weekend practice is kind of at a premium. So that Snowball Derby preview has turned into a day, as I say, of vital importance to local guys as far as getting their setup, because usually they have a good practice on November 19th that'll allow them to come in the gate on Snowball Derby ready to race.
Yeah, and that, boy, isn't that the goal. You know, in the past couple of years, we've had so many cars on each day of the race, we've had to park some of the cars not inside the track, but actually in, well, employee parking.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we've had guys asking us that. And by the way, sometime probably in about a week or so, we're going to have a FAQ page on the snowballderby.com website that will explain kind of all the procedures right down to arriving at the track for all the divisions. And hopefully that'll simplify things for everyone. But, you know, last year we did have our super stock pit on Friday outside, and we're gearing up for that again. And, you know, we don't know at this point yet what our late model car count is going to be, and that dictates how much room we have down in the infield. So if we could get all of the super stocks inside, certainly that'd be a whole lot better for everybody. But if we can't get them all in, then we'll set up the outside pit and have tires and fuel and tech of everything set up outside. Some of the guys actually preferred it outside.
You know what?
And I was a little less hectic.
I was about to say that, and the fans love it because they can get right up there and see some things that sometimes they wouldn't be able to see otherwise.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, you know, that's kind of the atmosphere. What is the Snowball Derby? Yeah. You know, people milling around, and a lot of people buy the VIP ticket just so they can have pit access, because they can just walk right up to the cars and see the preparation going on.
Yeah, and it's always a good time. Now, let's talk about getting us to the Derby. Obviously, Miss Snowball, the big pageant with Brent Lane, and thoughts and prayers go to Brent Lane, who just found out that his wife has got third-stage breast cancer. So they just found this out this week, and we, you know, as much as we do with cancer, we've talked already on the phone, and we just want to wish him the best of luck with his and his family.
Well, Brent and Angela are just wonderful people, and our prayers are with them, and, you know, all things happen for a reason, as we've talked before. So, you know, luckily they had early detection, so, you know, hopefully, you know, they'll be able to get her treated.
Yeah, absolutely, and he's a big part of that event because, obviously, he's your MC, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah, a lot of hype already around that. Of course, it happens on Thursday night, November 17th, at 7 p.m. At Beef O'Brady's downtown on Palafox Street. It's Tracy Goodson's place down there, and it's just a great setting. They have a stage up in the front of the restaurant, and it just made for a really fun atmosphere last year. We had a stellar crop, if you would, of contestants last year, and you know, we don't have any reason to expect anything different this year. And by the way, thanks to Cam Davis, who's been a magnificent Miss Snowball Derby throughout 2015.
Yep, she's been perfect for it. And you know, I saw on the website, and I love what you're doing for the Snowball Derby, the 300 lap super late model race. You're doing lap sponsorships, you're actually signing them. You got a new and unique opportunity. Even fans can get involved in this. This is a great idea, Tim.
Yeah, we're able to put $15,000 into the purse that way, and
wow.
then let fans actually be a part of it. We're going to have a sponsor board, both track side and grandstand side, listing all of the lap sponsors. We'll have a sheet in our program. We're trying to sell them in blocks of five. However, we'll sell individual laps if somebody's got a favorite number or if they want to, buy a lap of the Snowball Derby in memory of maybe a loved one or whatever. Just simply call the Speedway office, and we can do the transaction right over the phone. So, it's also exciting because I believe it's going to change the strategy in the race where, a lot of guys maybe were content to ride in second or third, fourth or fifth. Now, if you lead 20 extra laps, that's an extra grand. So I think you'll see some guys charge into the front.
I love that. And again, parking, this has been a little bit different this year, but you started this past week or so starting to sell parking next to the track, I guess preferred parking. Is it gone?
Well, it was gone in 50 minutes.
That's what I figured.
Two-thirds of our parking lot was set aside for reserve. We've got some young military volunteers doing the parking, and the proceeds are going to go to the MWR, out at the base, and also some other local charities. But, that's not to be too discouraging for folks. We still have a limited amount of free parking on site for the early arrivals, and then of course the fairgrounds is a nice parking lot. We've got the shuttle service runs back and forth. People have actually started parking there even before the parking lot gets full, just because of ease of egress.
Well, what about camping this year as well? I had somebody on Facebook ask me about that, and I said, well, let's ask Tim and see what he says.
Yeah, camping, we're not marking that as sold out. It is sold out on site, but we have some people that camp at the fairgrounds as well. That's a whole other atmosphere down there, and a lot of folks have really, really like it because you don't have the car noise during the day. People just go down there and relax, and when they get ready to come see some action, be it practice during the day or the race at night, they just hop on the bus and come down here, and then when it's over, they hop on the bus and go back. So we still have that available. Again, that's Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds, but that can be booked right here through the Speedway, and we've got a great arrangement with our friends down there. By the way, I want to put out a plug for the fair going on October 20th through the 30th, because those people are our partners this time of year.
Yeah, and it's always fun to go to the fair. Let me ask you about one more thing before we get going. Local drivers, you guys have actually an idea to help get the word out for these drivers actually participating. If you go ahead and send in your money early, well, it's going to be a little bit cheaper, and you might even get your mug on the website.
Yeah, we've already got a few local entries, and we're strongly encouraging guys to do that. Of course, on the practice day, on the Snowball Derby preview day, it'll be our deadline for the early entry entry fee. So, but we'd really like for guys to do it a little bit sooner. Dave Pavlock does a marvelous job putting the graphics together for our website, and as a racer, it's always kind of cool to log on to a Snowball Derby website and see your mug on there.
Oh yeah, for a good thing. Well, I tell you, Tim, I'm excited about it. For drivers and fans, again, you go to Five Flag Speedway or Snowball. Is it snowballderby.com?
Snowballderby.com, fiveflagspeedway.com still works. Goes to the same website. So either one will get you there. And, again, stay tuned. We're going to have a complete page of information on there that'll really be helpful. We'll, like I say, get that done probably within the next week or so, and be posting more information. We're going to be posting a complete driver list in the coming week on the super late model side and the snowflake side. And, of course, once we start posting a list with our local entries, they usually start coming in as well. So I want to encourage guys to play on with that. But we're excited, and we're already talking about the 50th anniversary Snowball Derby coming up in 2017, so we're excited about that as well. The 50th anniversary Snowball Derby logo is complete. We're going to unveil that this year at the Derby, so a lot of good things happening over here.
That's awesome. One more quick question for the local guys in rules packages. There should be some new rules for the next couple of years out, and I know it's before the Derby. Do we have a time schedule yet? Because I do know you said the rules will go for this year's rules at the Derby, but we will have a new set of rules by the Derby.
We're finishing that up by Snowball Derby. We'll have rules out for the coming year and years after. The Superstock rules are now complete. We're going to be posting those first because that's the class that really, required the most work. There'll be minor tweaks in the other divisions probably, but we'll be getting all that together as well. So it's a busy time here.
Well, we're excited about a Tim Five Flag Speedway and, again, SnowballDerby.com. Check out the website and get ready for some great racing. And they also do a great job on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram as well. Still to come, going to talk some dirt racing with Tommy Lowry, the Southern Raceway. It's the Southern 100, $10,000 to win Neesmith Late Model Series race. Coming up October 27th through the 29th, all the divisions are going to be there. Even Kenny Schrader bringing his modifieds to come play. We've got details coming up. Welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Always brought to you by great sponsors, Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, and Sunny South Raceway. Thank you to Bill Roth and also Tim Bryant. Told about the preparations going on for their big race, the Snowball Derby. Now, again, Matt Weaver standing by. NASCAR in Kansas, a lot to cover. You've got the latest on Dale Earnhardt Jr. Also, lights now at Martinsville. They've got the lights out and ready for the Southern 100, October 27th, 28th, and 29th at Southern Raceway. But we're, as if that's not a big enough race, huge race tonight. Tommy Lowry's on with us. So Tom, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for calling. Glad to hear from you.
Oh, absolutely. Man, I'm telling you, we were just talking off the air. Amazing couple of weeks that you've had these past couple of races, over 100 cars, and the racing's been incredible. I'm seeing it on social media. People are posting it, and you're posting it live on Facebook. I mean, you've got hundreds of people even away from the track watching your racing, brother.
Well, I appreciate that. We have really been blessed the last 2 weeks with the, you know, car counts in excess of 100.
Yeah.
As we talked about off air, just getting through and getting to do that many cars, but it's been some awesome racing. This last week, the late model champion was crowned. That was pretty good racing, really good racing, actually.
Wow. And who was the championship for the champion for this year?
Our champion for the late models this year was Cody Smith. Awesome. Chef Lucas wound up winning the race, and pretty impressive, too. And a lot of these guys are getting geared up for our big race coming up, 27, 28, 29.
Yeah, and that's it, the Southern 100. But you've also got racing this Saturday and several championships to be decided again, and point battles have been close in a lot of these classes.
Yes, sir. They have. There's a lot of point battles up and down. It looks to be decided. There's two classes that are right within grasp of first, but just because we're not running heat races being a season championship, championship is decided, but it's that close.
Wow.
And there's a lot of points to be decided up and down the row as well.
You know, you've been a partner in the track for a while, and you've seen the growth come up. At a time where sometimes there's some racetracks that are suffering, whether it be asphalt or other dirt tracks, you've come up with something that works. And what do you think the magic is at Southern? Because I know the fact you, Flemington, and Baker have all gotten together and ran a great, successful season, and it seems like the other two tracks are like you, that when you guys are ready to race, you're ready to race. You don't wait for the drivers. They know to get in line, and the fans appreciate that because you guys run them right real quick back and forth, don't you?
Yes, sir, we do. And I'm going to be honest with you, our success is we have been blessed with a great facility.
Yeah.
And me and my family spend an enormous amount of time working. That's what we do to make a living, so we have to make it work.
Yeah.
And there's some awesome promoters in this business, but a lot of them have other, you know, businesses they have to take care of.
Right.
And that's one of the few. There's probably six full-time dirt racing promoter tracks in the Southeast, and we're blessed to have one of them.
Yeah. And it takes it.
Our family puts 200 hours a week in, and it, wow. I mean, but we enjoy it. We do it because we love it.
Well, and that's it. And you can tell because when you show up, and there's a lot of pride. And you're one of the promoters that, you know, you make sure to go welcome all the drivers. You go around going through the pit, shaking the hands, kissing the babies, if you will. And obviously it works. And, you know, with this big race, how many years have you been doing the big one? Or, you know, now it's called the Southern 100. But this has been a traditional race for a little while.
Oh, absolutely. And the 30-second history on the Southern 100, it was run for years as a Southern 100. Then it went away, and after being involved in it for 1 year and seeing what the potential for that big race, I said, why don't we bring this Southern 100 back?
Love it.
And it's really looking forward to it this year. We got Neesmith involved with it, some awesome names coming.
Well, let's go through that. I mean, you guys made a big announcement last week. Kenny Schrader's bringing two modifieds. He's going to run both the IMCA and the UMP class, and that's major when he's coming, and you never know who he's going to drag along with him.
Oh, no, and that's absolutely. And he doesn't just come to be a celebrity and sign a few autographs and maybe pick up a car dealership, you know, to sponsor him.
Yeah.
He comes to race.
Yeah.
When he comes, he's looking for first place. He doesn't just come for the you know, how do you say that, you know, the powder and perfume, he comes to race.
Yeah, yeah, and when he shows up, he's going to be ready to roll.
Yes, sir, I guarantee you. Absolutely.
Well, what else do we expect to see at the Southern 100? Can you go through the dates? Because I know there's a practice date, and each day of racing really is different, but it's packed with so many different classes.
Oh, absolutely. We're on crack the gates open Thursday at 2:00. Begin parking everybody, and everybody that's been involved before knows, come get that early parking spot in the pits because they're tough to come by.
Yeah.
We are going to be set up for overflow pit parking outside the gate.
Yeah.
Our pits will hold about 150, and I'll be honest, I think we're expecting somewhere around 200 cars.
Wow, so are you serious? That is incredible.
Yes, sir.
Gosh.
Yes, sir. We're going to be parking them outside. We're going to have overflow parking set up, so it's going to be great.
I just want a T-shirt. Yeah. You got T-shirts made yet? I ain't going to get no trophy.
Absolutely will be. Thursday we don't do practice.
Yeah.
We don't start about 4:30 with practice. Run up to about 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
At 8:30 we don't shut it down and we don't run our real quick qualifying for IMCA modified cars.
Yeah.
And we don't run our heat races for our stingers.
Awesome.
So this way when we come back Friday we start easing into some of the features, the IMCA feature, the stinger feature.
Yeah.
And street stocks are running a double feature Friday and Saturday with almost 4,000 to win by one driver.
Wow.
They can, you know, hit one out of the park. It's a nice bonus for winning both nights.
Jeez.
And we're running eight classes. We got mini sprints, UMP modifieds, pure stock, street stock, vintage. And of course, we're running, you know, the late models. That's where the big money's at. 10,000 to win.
Who are some of the sponsors that are helping you?
Oh, CMP Machine.
Yeah.
Food Outlet. Milton Chevrolet.
Awesome.
Wise Recycling. B&D Feeds. L&L Construction. Hoosier's involved. Sunoco's involved. Roberson Excavation's involved. I'm leaving some out, and please, if anybody's listening, please forgive me, because there are so many people that have really stepped up and offered some great help this year.
Well, it's going to be great. I know I'm planning on trying, if there's still one available, get a hotel room for Thursday and get ready for the whole weekend of racing. I think it's going to be awesome. And again, this weekend, to get a little taste of what we're going to see next weekend, give us the details of when you start racing Saturday.
Okay. I want to throw one more little thing out. We'll talk about this weekend.
Yeah.
Bubba Pollard. Everybody that loves racing knows Bubba Pollard.
Yeah.
Bubba Pollard is an asphalt superstar.
Yes,
Bubba Pollard's coming to race the late model dirt car in our race, and I think that'll be awesome.
And you know what? He's been winning. He's been winning in that car.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I think he'll be there again. I don't think he's coming for the powder and perfume either. He's coming to put the race on.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be good. Boy, that's just going to get a lot of the asphalt fans over to your track. So even as the fans get there, you want to get there early too.
Yes, sir. Now, this weekend, I'm going to say a big thank you to our champions for the year, our Pure Stocks, Jessica Donaldson. We had a fan's favorite ballot. That'll be released this Saturday night as well.
Oh, awesome.
John Cody in our vintage class, Bo Bailey in our street stock, and Ryan Fowler is our modified champion for the year. Now, they will all be in action this Saturday night for their final race of the year.
And this is going to be a good test. How is the track? What kind of preparations do you have to do, especially for the big race like Southern? And the thing is like you said, you guys are there all week long, so there's constant track prep, not just on the track, but in the pits and through the stands. I mean, like you said, you guys are doing a lot just to keep it running each week, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Last week was probably the smoothest the track has been all year, but because it's been so brutally dry, you know, it was dusty. We actually done a lot of breaking up of the track this week, started on Tuesday, and we've been watering every day because we haven't had a whisper of rain in almost a month now at the racetrack.
And that's going to make a difference.
That's the secret, just making sure the water's right.
Well, for drivers who want to check it out and still have time, obviously, you know, you don't have to register until you get to the track, but you might want to check it out on Facebook. And again, what time do you start racing this Saturday?
Tonight we'll start at 7:30.
There you go.
It's open 4:30. You can watch the driver's hot lap at 6:30, and we'll start promptly at 7:30. We'll have a few brief heat races, but it'll be mostly features only, and we'll be introducing the drivers and acknowledging them for a great year.
Well, I know the fans will be out there for the whole rest of the weekend. I can't wait to be out there racing. We're going to bring the Kane Motorsports car out there and Cyclops Vapor, and we're going to have to try to race our way in, and it's going to be fun, and I don't mind doing it.
It's going to be a blast. Looking forward to it. We really are.
Well, thank you, Tommy Lowry, again from Southern Raceway. Big racing tonight, and again, October 27th, 28th, and 29th. It is going to be so great. Well, coming up next, we've got to talk NASCAR with Matt Weaver. NASCAR in Kansas, lights in Martinsville, and the latest on Dale Jr., how he has come out with his concussion symptoms and how it's really affected other drivers doing the same. There's so much more to continue. Thank you to Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, and, of course, Sunny South Raceway. Want to let you know today, we're set up at Grand Bay Middle School. They've actually got the Grand Bay Youth Football Athletic Association going on. We've got the Kane Motorsports Hot Rod out there. It's the modified that we're going to be racing at Southern in a couple of weeks. And if you want to stop by, we're going to be out there until probably about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock this afternoon. We're doing a toy drive, as you know, December 16th. You go to caneswarriorkids.com. You can learn all about our toy drive coming up at the USA Women's and Children's Hospital. There's going to be a lot of good stuff and all the details are there. But come see the race car. We're set up and ready to come see you. Up next, it's NASCAR. Welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you to Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, and Sunny South Raceway. Again, Tommy Lowry, a huge race tonight at Southern Raceway. And again, they're prepping for the Southern 100, $10,000 to win Neesmith late model race. And, you know, a huge late model race just this past couple weeks, or last weekend, I should say, at Winchester. And we've got Matt Weaver on the line who's going to talk NASCAR. But when I was just thinking about you, because I was talking with Tommy Lowry at Southern, which, as you know, Matt, is a great dirt track here along the Gulf Coast, but a very familiar asphalt name, Bubba Pollard, is going to be down there in his late model. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm seeing a lot of checkered flags at the dirt track in Bubba's hand too.
Yeah, Bubba has spent a lot more time in dirt racing over the past year. It's been a bit of a hobby of his.
Yeah.
As many of you guys in the Gulf Coast know, Bubba's recently gotten married, yeah, had a daughter, and so that's allowed him, or forced him in many ways, to try to find ways to race close to home. Mm-hmm. His family formerly operated the track in Senoia, Georgia, his hometown, and it's 15 minutes down the road. So he built himself a dirt late model and has been running races out there, and it allows him to stay with his daughter and his wife, but he wants to travel a little bit more. Bubba has dreams of one day even running some World of Outlaw or Lucas Oil dirt late model races.
Wow.
But fear not, he's still an asphalt guy. I talked to Bubba last week, do you still plan to run more asphalt? And he says he expects to be full-time in asphalt next year.
Oh.
He hopes to win a championship again. And so he wants to do a little bit of both. So good to see him travel in the dirt car too.
Back in my woods up in Indiana, Winchester 400, such a special race. And I saw the video of the last lap, and all I could say is, wow, and the crowd went nuts. Can you explain what happened?
Wow. To be honest, the Winchester 400 is probably the most exciting super late model race on the calendar. It's a Grand Slam event alongside the Snowball Derby, the All-American 400. It's right there in that same category. But Winchester Speedway, the High Banks, it's basically a souped-up version of Bristol.
Yeah.
34-degree banking on a half mile. It's the world's fastest half mile, no matter what Bristol says. Winchester's faster. But it's a bad racetrack. And it was a pretty bad race on Sunday. It was one of the worst Winchester 400s I had ever seen until 20 laps to go. And then basically, you know, everything hit the fan.
Yeah.
And what happened was, is Dalton Sargeant, the former Snowball Derby runner-up, had a great battle for the win with Raphael Lessard and Steven Nassi.
Yeah.
And the three of them basically got in a wreck.
Oh, yeah.
So it took three of the most dominant cars, took them out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Braden, who is the two-time CRA series in the Midwest Championship, champion, him versus Eddie Van Meter, a 47-year-old late model lifer, came down to the win, and Travis moved him in turns one and two, won the race. It wasn't a dirty move, it was just racing at Winchester.
And it was amazing.
Eddie Van Meter was so offended by how that played out that he actually doored Travis during his burnout.
Ooh.
The two crews got into a fight. Stephen Nassy was trying to find Dalton Sargeant in the pits. Everybody was mad at everybody, and it was just short track pandemonium.
Oh, man, that's what the fans were probably screaming about then. Yeah, that's what they love to see. Oh, my gosh. And we'll probably see some of it. Hopefully nothing like that, but I'm sure it'll be exciting in a snowball derby. Well, let's hit NASCAR. That's what we're here to talk about. Kansas this weekend. They say there's a few drivers to watch, and I see online, you go to NASCAR.com and some of the other websites, they're talking about Casey Kane, and that's a name we haven't heard in the media in a while.
You know what? Casey Kane and that entire team is starting to put it together. Now, it's unfortunate that it's happening, you know, in the last couple of weeks of the regular season and now that we're in the chase. Mm-hmm. But this is what we thought the team would be all year. Yeah. And, you know, to be fair, a lot of that is the struggles of Hendrick Motorsports as a whole, because it's no surprise to see Casey Kane running closer to the front, mm-hmm. because Jimmy Johnson and Chase Elliott are running, you know, at the front.
Yeah.
So, you know, even during the regular season when Jimmy and Chase were struggling to post top 10s and Casey was struggling to post top 20s, now you just move all of them up 15 spots. You've got Chase and Jimmy battling for the win. So naturally you have Casey Kane moving up 15 spots and yeah. he's battling for top 5s. So to me, that's just the sign that Hendrick Motorsports has really come on strong here in the second half of the season. And while it's not going to result in a championship for Casey Kane, it very well could result in one for Jimmy Johnson, who won at Charlotte for the first time yeah. in this elimination format. He's now in the third round of the chase, and even though he got crashed out last week, Chase Elliott, he's got a good chance to win this weekend at yep. Kansas, and you know, could make a run towards Homestead, Miami as well.
Do some people I've seen or read Jimmy Johnson consider him an underdog in the moving on from here? I mean, what are your thoughts? Like you said, it sounds like Hendrick's kind of got it together.
Yeah. It sounds like a bizarro world, but we're actually living in a universe right now where Jimmy Johnson and the 48 team is absolutely an underdog. I mean, yeah. earlier this year when I ranked who I thought could win the championship and I put them in order, I didn't get to Jimmy Johnson until 9. He was my number 9 pick. So you had all the Toyota cars, there's 5 of them. You had the 2 Penske cars, and I put 2 Stewart Haas cars and Kevin Harvick and Kurt Busch all over Jimmy Johnson.
Wow.
And, you know, they've had a rough year up yeah. until the past month or so, and they just didn't show the ability to really win these races. And they've proved us wrong here during the chase. They've saved their best for last. Same thing for Chase Elliott and that 24 team. They're still underdogs, but right now they are performing at a high level, and you know they're kicking Toyota's butt.
You know, Dale Jr. has been spotted at the track again, and it's been amazing to see some of the other drivers because of how Dale Jr. has come out about his concussion. And I want to, you know, quote Sarah Cornette Ching. Obviously, the ARCA drivers had just a terrible hit a couple weeks ago, and she's struggling with the exact same things and the exact same symptoms as what Dale Jr. is. And she said it's been spotted on NASCAR and some of the other websites again, that just a good article about how he coming out really helped her, didn't want to hide the symptoms, and she started feeling it and said, well, maybe I need to get this checked out. And sure enough, she has a pretty serious concussion. Do you think that with Dale Jr. coming back at the track, I mean, obviously the fans love to see him and stuff, but still no time frame whatsoever when he'll get in a race car. But for the other drivers, it's good to see probably Jr. back.
Well, the first thing I would say is that I know there's been a lot of changes in NASCAR and in stock car racing over the past decade or so that a lot of fans just don't agree with. But one thing I will say about the current championship format, this new chase where you can miss some races mm-hmm. and still compete for the championship, I think that's not the worst thing in the world, because I'm old enough to remember, and certainly you are, yeah. a day, not only in NASCAR, but even in short track racing, anywhere in America, that, you know, if you had to miss some races because you had an injury or you hit your head and you thought you had a concussion, you'd be shamed for that. You would say, oh, you're just, yeah. you know, you're a pansy, you yep. need to toughen up, you need to be a man, yeah. and you know, knowing what we now know about concussions, that is the absolute worst thing to do. If you've hit your head yeah. really hard and you have a concussion, to get back out there and do it again, because if you have another bad crash,
yep.
you could do irreparable long-term damage, not only to your career, but your life. You're putting your long-term health at risk. And, you know, I think having Dale Jr. be able to get out of the car and say, I recognize that I can't do this, I'm going to go see a doctor, and you know, risk losing a significant amount of time of my career, sends a positive message that it's okay to talk about it. You're not going to be replaced. You're not going to be shamed. You're not going to be viewed as any less of a man or a racer or a competitor. And I think that that's a good thing moving forward. And now we have a championship format that allows a little bit of flexibility towards how much time a driver can miss and still be eligible for the championship. And I know that's still polarizing and that's still controversial to several people from the old guard, but I think as we continue to learn more about the human brain and, you know, what it can and can't endure, that's a positive thing moving forward. Don't forget that Dell Jr. is donating his brain to science once he eventually does pass away. So we're just going to continue to learn more, and hopefully, you know, all this data is going to prove to be fruitful in the next several decades.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that he has done that. Lights in Martinsville, that's news this week, but no night race scheduled for Martinsville yet.
This one is a bit polarizing to me as well.
Yeah.
We're both Cub fans. We both love Wrigley Field, the tradition of that place. And when they put lights up in 1988, I believe, that was it was viewed as the end of an era. Yeah. It was something that had been viewed as tradition going away. Martinsville says they're not planning to run a scheduled night race, but you don't do this. You don't invest the kind of money that, that you are unless you plan on using it. I thought it was interesting that the NASCAR Xfinity account last night posted a tweet that said, you know, midweek Xfinity Series race in Martinsville, count us in. And that doesn't mean they're actually thinking about it, they're going to do it. But to me, if you invest all this money to have lights, you're going to use it at some point. It's worth noting that this weekend, the race I'm attending is not Kansas. I'm actually going down to Martinsville for their big late model stock race. That could be a race that gets ran under the lights. The NASCAR Modified Tour, which is being merged into one big tour next year, the Southern and Northern Tours are merging into one series. I would like to see them have a stop at Martinsville in July at night. I think that would be a wonderful race. So it doesn't necessarily have to be about the Cup Series, but certainly if you're going to invest in lights, don't be surprised if Xfinity gets on for a midweek race. If the late models has a night race, or even the NASCAR Modified Tour,
that would be awesome. How do we keep track of you at the track?
The best way is on social media, on Twitter, at Matt Weaver SBN. I also have a Facebook fan page, Matt Weaver Motorsports. Those are the best ways to get updates, stories, just to figure out where on the map I am.
Well, there you go. That's Matt Weaver. And again, we appreciate everyone that came on board today. Bill Roth, Tom Lowry from Sunny South Raceway and Southern Raceway, and Tim Bryant with Five Flag Speedway. And again, we're set up over in Grand Bay right by the school. And stop by. See the Kane Motorsports Open Wheel Modified, the dirt car we're going to be running in a couple weeks at that big race at Tommy's Racetrack at Southern. We're excited about that. Thank you to McDonald's, FS Corporation for everything they've done for us, and the Canes Warrior Kids. Again, we are so excited that we are now a 501(c) non-for-profit with Canes Warrior Kids. If you go to caneswarriorkids.com, you can see information on some of the events that we've got planning. And again, also Polar Park, Cyclops Vapor, the Vape Shop of Pensacola, Payson Golf Breeze. Thank you to Heritage Electrical, BA Motorsports, the Hub Design of Crenshaw, Falsac Tires, Ingersoll Racing. Of course, we've got Cross Creek Realty, CASP Industries, and Coastal Traffic, and of course, CanesWarriorKids.com. Have a blessed weekend, everybody, and love you, Mom.
If you'd like to be featured on Full Throttle Racing with Kane, email us at FullThrottleRacingWithKane@Yahoo.com, and we may have you and your race team on the air. Join us again next Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. for another hour of local and national racing news on Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5.